Well, as we look at today, we look at this important holiday, Easter, this celebration of the resurrection of Christ. There is, for all of us, there is nothing more important about your life. There's nothing more important about life than what you view and how you view God, what you believe about God. And I think that anyone can say that. I think even atheists would say that, right? Because what's your view of God, that's kind of your starting point in life, whether you believe in him or not, whether you think it's many gods or this God or this guy's name or whatever. What you believe about God is the thing that sets your course for life, no matter what your belief is. That dictates how you go about making decisions, how you, it's your worldview. It is the foundation of your worldview, regardless of what you believe. It dictates everything about how you operate in life. I would also add, I think, that what you believe that God thinks about you is also the most important thing about your life. For those of you who do believe in God, what you think he thinks about you, that's also the most important thing about your life, because that's going to radically dictate how you respond to this God you believe in. All right, so what we think about God and what we think he thinks about us, those are the two most important things for every single human being on this planet. In the last few weeks, for those of you who call this your home, we've been looking at different metaphors that the word uses to describe God's view of us, his people. We've looked at some different things. And the last couple weeks specifically, we've seen that God calls us his people. He calls us his temple, his dwelling place. He calls us even priests in that temple. And so today, I want to share with you guys some good news and some bad news, but we're going to finish with some good news, because it's always good and important to finish with good news. And it's hopefully going to be good news that brings you a lot of encouragement today, as we see God's desire for us, what he wants for us, his desire for you, what he wants for your life, and the way that he loves you. That's what we're going to be finishing with. But I want to pray first. We're going to be looking at one scripture today to kind of set us on this little journey this morning. But I want to pray and ask the Lord just to help us to understand, to believe, to have faith. I know a lot of us, we struggle with doubts. We have fears. And we've got a lot of cynicism. There's all kinds of things. There's a number. I mean, for every person in here, there's a different story. So I just want to pray that the Lord would lead us and guide us all, meet us where we're at today, and show us his love. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, even just for these wonderful truths that we've already sung this morning, that you indeed are alive, you are here, you are risen, you've conquered sin and death. We celebrated this on Friday, just reminding ourselves of what the cross has done by taking on all of our sin, all of our guilt, our shame, our condemnation. We can walk freely and in freedom. We don't have to be afraid of your wrath, because your son has taken on all of your wrath. We can walk confidently into your presence each and every day. We can receive your love freely, regardless of how well or how badly we did today. We know that our righteousness comes from Christ. We come to you in the name of Jesus, not in our own name. We have no right to draw near your throne on our own, but because of what your son has done, we can come to you and we can call you Father. You've adopted us. You call us sons and daughters. You call us by name. You know every hair on our head. You know every day of our life. And we can put all of our hope and trust in you. So lead us today. Help us, each and every one of us, little kids to us big kids. We need you to lead us and guide us today in your truth. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, this kind of continues the theme that we've been looking at the last couple weeks. Paul says to the church that he's writing to, he says, "We are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them, and I will walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is God's desire for you and for me. He wants to make his dwelling among you, not just in a church building on a Sunday, but in you, in your life, when you're in bed, when you're at work. He wants to make his dwelling among you, and he wants to walk with you every day and every moment of your life, through the darkest days, through the brightest days. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be your God, and he wants you to be his people. So kids, first question today, okay? When your parents have friends come over or have another family come over, they're going to come over at night. What's the thing that the parents stress about the most? What do you guys have to do before these important friends come over? Yes. Clean up. I think that's the only answer we need. We have to clean. We have to clean. When we have important guests coming over, people we love, people we respect, we need to clean up. So when we see this scripture that God is going to come and live with us, he's going to make his dwelling with us, we might say to ourselves, I got to get this place cleaned up. I got an important guy coming over. He's going to start living inside of me. And we might start wondering, am I clean enough? Right? Because you start cleaning your house and you go, it's not clean enough. It's not clean enough. Am I clean enough? Am I being good enough as a person, as a human? Have I made too many mistakes? Is God going to open the door and go, no, thank you, and then walk away? Have I been cleaned enough? That's a thought that I think almost everyone has had. Because all of us, we all, regardless of your background, we all follow some kind of rules in our life, right? Whether it's be true to yourself or do whatever makes you happy as long as you don't hurt someone. We might say things like, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I don't really do anything that bad. We have all these different things that we say to ourselves as part of our worldview, how we view our life. Some of you would maybe even call yourself a Christian, but maybe it's hard for you to say, I follow Jesus. I love Jesus. So here's my first bit of good news for us today. It is possible for you to go to heaven if you're good enough. So it is possible. That's good news. If you're good enough, you can go to heaven. The bad news, however, is that none of us are actually good enough. That's the bad news. Because the reality for us is that in God's word, he actually says that to be good enough in order to go to heaven, we have to be perfect in the same way that God himself is perfect. That's the standard. That's the standard of cleanliness. That's the standard of being able to clean our house enough. We have to be perfect because God himself is perfect. This was something that it wasn't really real to me in my life until I was about 18 years old when I finally saw in Romans 3:12 that God's word says no one is good, not even one. Not even one. So kids, let's say someone was trying to sell you a ticket to heaven. Okay, so someone comes up to you at school or whatever, like, I have a ticket to heaven, and if you buy it, you can go to heaven. What's the first question you're going to ask them?
Is it real?
that's a really good answer. What else? What would be the next thing? If they said, yes, it's real, well, then what would you ask? You know what I actually call this? I call this stump the chump, right? So the kids are like, how can I stump this guy? All right, so what else would you ask? If I said, I have a ticket to heaven, and if you buy it, you can go to heaven. What's another question you might ask? How much is it? That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. Now, if my answer was, well, that's a great question. You just have to be good enough. Then what would your next question be? How do you be good enough? How do you be good enough? Now, if my answer is what Jesus says in Luke 18, verse 19, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God. And then, as I mentioned in Matthew, Jesus also says, you must be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect. The cost of that ticket to get into heaven is perfection, just like God. Now, then we might say, okay, well, why does the Bible get to make all the rules? Why can't I just say, well, I'm good enough, or I live according to my rules? Kids, who sets the rules and calls the rules in a baseball game?
The umpire.
Who sets the rules and establishes rules at a swimming pool?
A lifeguard.
Who sets the rules in a city or in a country?
A sheriff.
Sheriff, a police, right? So whether we like it or not, someone has to establish the rules whoever's actually in charge. Kids, when your parents, when they tell you to go clean your room, and you go and you clean your room, and then they come in and they see your dirty socks, and you see like cups on the ground, what do they say to you? What was that?
Clean it better.
Clean it better, that's right. They come in and they say, you call this clean? This is not clean. It's what I call it. It's husband cleaning, right? I don't really actually clean. I relocate things. I just move things from this area to the next. I don't do any actual cleaning. I just move things around. So like it or not, someone else sets the rules. And unless you created your life and created this world around you, created the heavens and the skies and the sun, unless you're the creator, you're not the one who sets the rules. If you're a baseball player, you're not the umpire. If you are a created being, you're not the creator. You don't set the rules. Adults, if you guys ever watch true crime shows, right? See the guy who does the crime. I won't get too descriptive here, but they do the crime, and then they clean up the mess, and then they think they've got away with it. And then that CSI team comes in, and they get that luminol out, and they get their microscopes out. And they start finding trace evidence of stuff that you did not see, that person did not see. It does not matter. As a baseball player, if you think you're out or safe, it's all about the umpire. It doesn't matter if you think you cleaned up all the mess. The CSI agent, he's the one who actually dictates this. It doesn't matter if you think you're good enough to get your way to heaven, because you're not in charge of that. Right? If all of our thoughts throughout our day were broadcast on the screen behind me, and all your friends and family got to watch and listen to all your thoughts throughout the day, would you be saying to yourself, I think I'm pretty good? I would not. That would be like the worst day ever, right? Like when we get that CSI microscopic view of ourselves, we realize we actually aren't near as good as we think. That's the reality. So yes, if you're good enough, you can get to heaven, but that's not actually good news. That's bad news. But this is where we get brought the good news, because God wants to make a home inside of you. He wants to walk with you throughout life, but he knows that you do not have the ability to clean yourself the way that you need to be cleaned. So because of his love for you, because he actually loves you, despite the fact that you've broken his laws, all these things, because he loves you, he came up with a plan. Because no human could earn this plan. No human could earn their way in order to get to heaven. And so God himself, he's the one who would earn it for us. Only God himself is perfect. Only God himself is good. This is what Jesus told us. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. You have to be perfect, just like your Father in heaven is perfect. Only God himself is worthy and strong enough to be able to do the kind of cleaning that we need. He's the only one who can afford the cost of that ticket. So he planned, as he looked down, he looks at all of us, he looks at all of our thoughts on the screens, every human throughout human history is going, none of these people are worthy, none of these people can afford this ticket, none of these people can clean up their lives the way that I require, but I love them. So I got to do something about this. I want to save them. I want to make a home with them. I want to walk with them, but I can't right now because none of them are clean. So God says, here's my plan. I myself, God, perfect and holy God, I'm going to come down. I'm going to become one of them. I'm going to actually be able to do all the cleaning. I'm going to keep myself perfectly clean. I'm going to, by myself, by my own sacrifice, I'm going to purchase the ticket, and I'm going to give them the ticket for free. For free. Here's what we see in Revelation chapter 5. This is a picture. John there is writing this in Revelation 5, and he's describing a picture of him seeing God do this very thing that I've just spoken about. He says, I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. He's talking about God the Father. So God the Father is seated on the throne, and I saw in his right hand a scroll rolled up. It was written on the back and within, and it was sealed. So this thing was just sealed. Like, no one can touch this thing. Right? So think about this as like the ticket. This is the ticket. No one can touch it. It is sealed. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice. This angel says, who is worthy to open up the seal? Who's worthy to take this ticket and open it? That's what we're looking at right here. And John says, no one in heaven, no one on the earth, no one under the earth, no one living or dead. There was no one in all of human history who was able to actually take this ticket out of the hand of God the Father. No one. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And so John says, I began to weep loudly. John starts crying. There's no hope for us. We can't go to heaven. When we see all of our thoughts on this screen, we just know none of us have earned this. None of us can afford this. I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to even look into it. And then one of the elders, one of the people there, they said to John, John, weep no more. You don't need to cry any longer. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. He's talking about Jesus, God himself, who came down in the form of a man. He is the one who conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. He can actually take this ticket out of the hands of God. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing. This is Jesus. As we saw Friday, Jesus became the sacrificial lamb. He said, I will pay for all of their sin. I saw a lamb standing as though he had been slain. He paid the price with his own life, with his own blood. And this lamb, this Jesus, he went and he took the scroll. He took it from the right hand of God Almighty, of him who is seated on the throne. So Jesus is the only one who can do this. And he goes up to the Father and says, I can do this. I can purchase this ticket. I can afford this because I am the perfect one. I'm the only perfect man that's ever lived. He takes this scroll out of his Father's hands and it says they sang a song. All the people there that saw this, they're amazed. I can't believe this is happening. We have hope now. They sang a song. Worthy are you, Jesus. Worthy are you to take the scroll, to take this ticket and open it up. For you were slain, you were killed. And by your blood, that's how you purchased your people for God. From every tribe, every language, and every people, and every nation. And you've made them into a kingdom and priests to our God. He makes us into his dwelling place, his home, his kingdom, and they shall reign on the earth. And then they continue to sing even more. They say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who was killed, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. It says, I heard every creature in heaven and every creature on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, I heard them singing to him who sits on the throne, to God Almighty, the Holy One, the umpire, the lifeguard, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Jesus, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Jesus alone could afford that cost, that price. He alone could afford that ticket for you and me because Jesus, although he is a man, he is also God. He alone had the ability to stay perfectly clean from all sin. And because of that, that's what makes him able to purchase that ticket. He could afford this. This is what makes him able to cleanse us from all the stuff in our past, all the stuff that weighs us down, the things that keep us up at night when we think, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I acted like that. All the shame that you've carried for so many years, he is able to cleanse you of that. And not just in a technical way, but the stain of it. Like when you stand before God Almighty, when your faith and trust is in Christ, God does not see the stain of your former sins. It's been crucified on the cross. It's been buried in the grave, and it stayed in the grave. Christ rose, but he didn't bring your sin with him. He left your sin in the grave. Sin and hell itself is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. So you don't have to carry all that stuff that you judge yourself, the stuff that you beat yourself up over. He has completely washed you of even the stain of sin. He can do this because he is the Lamb of God who paid for that sin and covers you in his blood. his blood. And now this is why he can make his home inside your heart. And yes, you still struggle with sin. I still struggle with sin. But he has cleansed you. And so now he makes a home inside of you. And his desires, he wants to walk with you each and every day. As I said earlier, even through the darkest times, through the saddest times, through the most hopeless times, but the times when you don't even see him walking with you, he is walking with you. He's walking with you. This is his desire, is to walk with you. He paid for every last sin, even the ones that are in your mind, even the ones that no one knows about. The things that you are most ashamed of, that you can't even believe yourself that you think, that you feel, or that you desire. The ones that appall you, he forgives those too. He cleanses you of those as well. The payment was his perfect life. He took sin with him to the cross and he was killed so that our sin would die with him. But then he goes even beyond that to prove his power over sin and death itself. After he was killed for all of these sins, he rose from that grave, but he left our sin in the grave. So I want you to think about this, just as it's impossible for you, impossible for me, kids, big kids, it's impossible for us to enter into heaven by our own strength, but it's equally as impossible for death to keep Jesus from heaven by its own strength. Right? It is impossible for me to enter in by my strength, but it's also impossible for Christ to be held down by death's own strength. Jesus conquered death. There is no grave that can hold that body down. And because of that, church, there's no grave that's going to be able to hold our bodies down because we're hidden in Christ. Because he is the Lamb who purchased our salvation. He took the scroll for us. He bought the ticket for us. He gives us the scroll. He gives us that ticket. So there now, therefore, there's no grave that can hold my body down. In my own power, my body's staying in the grave. And I deserve that. If you saw all my thoughts broadcast on that screen, you'd agree. Joby deserves to stay in the grave. But because I'm in Christ, because I trust in him and not my own strength, not my own righteousness, not my own good deeds, I trust in him and his perfect payment. Therefore, I get to rise with him because he rose and conquered sin and death for me. He wanted to make a home in me. He wants to walk with me and he's going to walk me out of that grave. And that's what I love about this day that we get to celebrate this in such a particular way. He proved his power over death. Christ came to set you free. He came to heal broken hearts, the pains that hold you back. He came to save the worst of sinners, the worst of sinners. He came to save outsiders, people who feel like you don't belong. Maybe, you know, you just feel awkward, right? But thinking about God things, you don't feel like you fit in. He came to save you. You might feel like an outsider. He came to save you. Don't worry about feeling like an outsider. Look to him who came to save you and desires you. He came to save you. He came to give mercy and grace to his enemies. He came to save you from death, from that grave. He came to bring hope to the hopeless. If you're in despair, if you have anxiety, you're battling through depression, he came to save you from that. That doesn't mean that life is just amazing all the time, but he's going to walk with you through all of it. That's his promise. That's his desire. He wants to walk with you through all your hopelessness, all your pain, all your sorrow, all your despair, all your anxiety, all your depression, everything, all your outsiderness feeling. He wants to walk with you through all of it. He wants to make a home inside of you. That's his desire. If you're a pretty good person, but maybe today you realize, hey, maybe I'm not as good as I thought. He came to give you a gift today. Today you're realizing, you know what? Maybe I do need a little help. Maybe I'm not as good. If my thoughts were put on that screen, maybe I realize I'm not as good as I thought. Jesus came to give you a gift. He wants to save you from yourself. We heard that a lot on Friday. Jesus came to save us from ourselves. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that God Almighty will make all things good and beautiful in his sight in his time. So again, looking at 2 Corinthians 6:16, we're the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Some of you today, maybe you've never truly believed or put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've never really desired to truly follow him. Or like I said earlier, maybe you say, I believe in Jesus, but it just feels awkward to say, I love Jesus. Or maybe it feels a little disingenuous to say, I follow Jesus. All right, so maybe that's you, never maybe believed or fully put your trust in him. Or maybe you don't really know what you believe. It might be that maybe you call yourself a Christian, but maybe your life doesn't really reflect it that well. Whatever that might look like, kind of do your own thing. You try to maybe be good, but I don't want you to have false hope today. Because Jesus said a lot of people call him Lord, but he's not really their Lord. There's no such thing as being on the fence when it comes to Jesus. There really is no such thing. Jesus says, you will not see heaven unless you are born again. There's no on the fence with this. He doesn't say you won't see heaven if you're not a good person. He says you won't see heaven if you are not born again. He says you must be born again. It's what he says in John chapter 3, verse 3. You need him to give you new life, to cleanse you from the inside out, to work in you. And he is willing to do this. It's nothing you have to earn. He is willing. He is willing to do this, to give you new life, to cause you to become born again so you can be truly cleansed from the inside, so that he will be your God and you will be part of his people, his temple, his son, his daughter. And one simple way that I like just to remind people, just an easy way for you just to consider, how do I do this? How do I confess to the Lord that I want him? This is in your notes. I just call it the ABCs of the gospel of salvation. The very first thing we do is we just admit, I am a sinner. I've sinned. I can't afford the ticket to heaven. I can't afford. I'm not clean enough. I admit that freely. I can't do this on my own. And then the B is just to believe that Jesus alone is the worthy one. He alone can cleanse you. He alone can afford that ticket. He alone is God who became man, who came to do this for you, to give you this gift. And then that C is to confess and believe in him. Putting your trust, putting your hope, saying, God, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to make me alive. I'm desperate. I need you. I've doubted so much. I've been cynical. I've been angry at you. I've wondered where you are. All these, whatever those thoughts are, there's something maybe pulling at you today saying, I need to reach out to God. Know this, that God wants you. He wants to make a dwelling in you. He wants to walk with you. And Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I won't turn you away. You won't be an outsider. Anyone who comes to me, I will never cast out. I want to pray, and I want to ask the Lord to help each and every one of us this morning. Because all of us, no matter where you're at on the spectrum of your belief, your faith, I know all of us, we fight through things. We fight through hardships. We fight through doubts. We fight through all this stuff. And I think every single one of us, we need to walk out of this place today knowing the love of Christ, knowing that God desires to make a home inside of us. He desires to walk with us. So I want to pray and I want to ask the Lord to help all of us to believe in God's desire for us, that he wants us to be his temple. He wants us to be his priests. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to know his love. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you desire us. God, there's so many times throughout our day, throughout our week, that we are not desiring you. We're looking at other things. We're distracted. We're fascinated by other things that draw our attention. And there's a lot of different times in life where we're just ridden with guilt. We're ridden with condemnation and shame. And then that keeps us even from coming to you because we're embarrassed, because we want to hide. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to hide. We don't have to stay in our shame. We can come to you freely. We can come to you boldly, not as outsiders, but as adopted sons and daughters. And I want to pray, God, that for all of us, that you would reveal more clearly your love for us, your desire for us, that you have done everything necessary to pay for our sin, to open that scroll, to purchase that ticket for us. And I want to pray specifically for those who have been wrestling with faith, struggling in their faith, having doubts, feeling maybe insecure or angry or cynical, asking, as so many even throughout Scripture have asked, where is God in all of this? Life is difficult, it's confusing, it's challenging. And you, God, entered into this world and you experienced all of that so that you could relate to us and with us, so that you could walk alongside of us. Even when we don't see you, even when we don't see your footprints, we know that you're with us. So I want to pray for those who are very particularly, they've been wrestling with doubt, whatever it might be. And if there's something in them, even this morning, God, that you're drawing them, you're whispering to them, God, that they would just reach out to you just with the simplest of prayers, admitting their need for you, admitting their sin, believing and confessing that they need you. And God, that you today would give them a gift, not one they deserve, not certainly not one I deserve, but that you would give them a gift as they cry out to you and ask you for help, ask you for salvation, ask you to cause them to become born again. We thank you, Lord, that this is all your initiative. This is all your choice, all your idea. As you looked out and you saw no one who was worthy, you created this plan to save us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your goodness towards us, your grace and your mercy. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We worship you. And we thank you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, beautiful name of Jesus, we pray and ask all these things. Amen.